Hi, guys. Okay, so three of you are good. That's nice. All right. Well, we're going to start us off right. We are starting a new series called Thicker Than Water. We're going to be talking about the role that the family plays in the story of us. So how many of you here have a sibling? Okay, so most of you. I have an older brother, and growing up, we would fight all the time. We play video games, we play wiffle ball, we play basketball, whatever it was, it always turned into an argument. We played MLB The Show and NBA 2K. Who knows what that is? Okay, so MLB The Show is a baseball game, right? When you're playing baseball and softball, you're supposed to throw strikes, and you're not supposed to swing at the balls. Well, my brother and I didn't always throw strikes, and we would swing at the balls anyway, and then proceed to blame it on each other for not throwing a strike. Whenever we played NBA 2K, we always got mad at each other for not guarding each other. You can choose who you want to guard, and we always said that we were not better, also naturally taller than I was, so just stupid stuff. Well, he's 3 years older than me, so he's also naturally taller than I was. So anytime we played basketball, he'd always block my shot, and he'd never let me shoot. He's also a lot bigger than me, so anytime we got into a real argument, he would just kind of sit on me. Like, he would just sit on me, and then I'm having to scream to my parents because I can't get up. I couldn't get him off. So we really never got along until he got his driver's license, because then we could go hang out besides being cooped up in the house. But he also didn't really have a choice because my mom paid for his gas, and she said he had to take me wherever I wanted to go. So a couple years after he went off to college, and we weren't around each other very much, he eventually had a heart-to-heart conversation with me, and he apologized for all the things, all the reasons why he acted the way he did. He felt like he hadn't got the same opportunities as I did as a kid, and so he took it out on me. The thing is, I was always an angel. I was never, ever mean. My parents would tell you that. I'm just kidding. I was also a brat. But what I'm trying to get out with this is that at the end of the day, we had each other's back. The relationship that we had as brothers, as being family, allowed us to reconcile where it was needed. My brother and I's relationship story reminds me of this phrase, blood is thicker than water. Blood is thicker than water is a very old expression that is used to speak to the idea that family relationships and bonds are stronger / more important than other types of relationships. So in other words, it suggests that family should take precedent over social or personal affiliations. So we want to get this right. Like Morgan said, the definition is going to be different as Christians. So the origin of this phrase is somewhat debated, but it has a long history and can be traced back to different sources. So one common belief is that it originates from the proverb, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb, suggesting that relationships formed through shared life experiences and choices are stronger than those based on family ties. However, over time, the saying evolved to its more commonly known form, emphasizing the strength of family connections. So this is, in a sense, what we're trying to get at with explaining this. This expression will hold different meaning to different people based on the context of their life and relationships. So as Christians, it is absolutely important that we love and respect our families. Right? No matter what, you don't turn your back on family. If you seem Fast and Furious, you understand what I'm talking about. We are told in the Ten Commandments that we are to honor our mother and father. So just based on that, we know to some degree that we should have respect for the people who raise us / have authority in the household over us. So I know that when I say family, some of you live with your aunt, your uncle. Not all of you live with your parents. Some of you live with your aunt, your uncle, your stepdad, stepmom. Some of you live with your grandparents. Regardless, for Christians, blood being thicker than water 100% includes your blood-related family. Okay, so that's number one. I talked with Morgan and Jay about this expression pretty thoroughly, and we wanted to nail this down too. So stay with me. Our chosen relationships are all super important too, these relationships being your friends. So our friendships can also hold the weight of feeling like family. The friendships that are going to be thicker than water would be the relationships that are founded on Christ. So the blood of Christ is what binds us together as brothers and sisters. That's number two. So even though I say this, what I don't want you to do is discount your friends that may be super close to you that aren't believers, right? We'll make sure to cover that in a little bit as well. And then number three would be the body of Christ in general, like Morgan said. All right, everyone in this room is bound together by the shed blood of Jesus, which therefore makes us all brothers and sisters in Christ, and you have a family here too. That's why tribe is super important, right? Why tribe groups are super important. We build relationships here. We learn, we grow, and we love each other here. So with all that in mind, it's very easy to say that families are unique, which means that there are going to be a lot of challenges within families. Right? Family can feel like a bit much sometimes. It gets complicated. Within our family, there are different personalities, different needs, activities, schedules, attitude, drama, opinions, you name it. Add all these things up, and there can be a lot going on. And on top of all these things, you add faith in the middle of it. You would assume trying to put Jesus in the middle of everything helps, but it adds a bit of pressure. Right, for some of you, you may be the only Christian in your household. How do you live out your faith at home? How do you share the love of Jesus with a super close friend that really doesn't want to hear about Jesus? Maybe it's a lot of pressure to live up to the expectations because your parents or guardians expect you to act perfectly because you are a Christian. Maybe your parents say they have faith in Jesus, but they live worldly lives and don't lead you how they should. For a lot of us, it feels like faith is one part of the mix and then family is another. So let's take a step into making these two. At the one. We're going to look at some scripture and offer some encouragement that hopefully helps you navigate the issue regardless of your unique family / chosen relationships. So the first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels. They are the accounts of Jesus' life when he lived among us. One of those Gospels is the book of John, written by one of Jesus' close friends. So in the section today, we're looking at John records Jesus and his disciples sharing an important meal together. It was a Passover meal, which was a religious holiday. The disciples didn't know that this was going to be Jesus' final meal with them, but Jesus did. So Jesus' ministry lasted 3 years, right? That's 3 years of traveling with and living with the disciples. They went through very high highs and extremely low lows. You guys probably relate to that within your family structure. You've been through a lot together. So it's no doubt that Jesus and the disciples naturally felt like family. It's about to get super difficult and super emotional for his disciples, and Jesus knows that. He's about to be killed, and everything's going to change. So we're going to look at what Jesus did right before his death. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." So in previous chapters of John, we see Jesus mention a couple times that his time had not yet come. So now Jesus knows his death is here. So this sets up the next few verses for what he's about to do. What I don't want us to miss is the last bit where it says, "to the end." Right? So the original Greek translation for "to the end" can be better understood as "to the fullest extent." The disciples doubted him. They disobeyed him. Yet Jesus loved them until he could not be physically with them anymore. Just like your families. They mess up too. Your families aren't perfect, but we're called to love them anyway. Just like my brother and I used to argue and fight. Yeah, sure, I always didn't like him, and he most likely didn't always like me. But at the end of the day, we had love for each other. Same goes for some of my closest friends, those chosen relationships. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. Sometimes we try and speak into each other's lives, and we get defensive or mad because it feels like we're attacking each other. But that's love right there, too. And that holds us together at the end of the day. I have their back, and they have mine, even when loving isn't easy. I wasn't always nice to my parents either. They will tell you that. I was a teenager before. I was an angry little dude. But they loved me through that, and I loved them, too. So we go on, and we see what Jesus does for the disciples. John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5 says, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped the towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." And the book of James says to be doers and not just hearers of the word. So I'm going to ask my dad to come up here real quick? He doesn't have a clue what's going on. I didn't tell him. We'll stay away from the front row so they don't have to see your feet. Go ahead and slip your shoes and socks off because we're going to wash your feet. Now, what's funny is because I talked about my brother, I was going to try and get my brother to come for the illustration, and I didn't really give him much context. So I texted him. I said, "Hey, Gage, I need you in my illustration for Sunday. Can you make it?" And he's like, "Yeah, do I just need to be there in person? Like, what do you need?" I said, "No, I got to wash your feet." And he's not here. So I didn't tell my dad. Okay. 1 foot at a time. Go ahead. Come on. Now, I know we talked back in main service that the disciples walked on really, really dirty roads, that the animals walked in the same roads, so there were animal feces in the road. Your feet don't look to seem as bad as what theirs might have been, so that's good. But right, it's not about actually washing the feet clean, okay? But it's about what Jesus did. Right? Jesus was master. Yet he took on the act of a servant. Thank you, sir. Give him a hand real quick. So what I'll do, I'll finish this out with scripture from Proverbs, another book from the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for time of adversity." In this scripture, the word brother is not referring to blood brothers, but brothers that are created by hardships and experiences like we talked about earlier. So this covers all aspects of our unique family situations. We're supposed to look to God's example for this. When it comes to our relationships that are thicker than water, love is more important than anything. God sent his son, Jesus, to take on our nature so that he could be our friend and brother. Do the same thing with your family, the chosen relationships that you have, your neighbors at church, and the friendships that you have that aren't centered on Christ. When you said yes to Jesus, you said, "You are the king of my life. Thou shalt not," all of it. God wants our hearts. The first thing he ever did for us was love us. That's what he's calling us to do. So you see a verse on the screen. Some practical ways to be better at loving your family is by asking God to give you the traits needed to love better and love well. So maybe your siblings, they annoy you like crazy, right? Ask God for patience. Thank him for who your family may be or for those chosen relationships. We see love is not self-seeking, which means to look out for the interests of others, not just your own. Check in on your friends. Make sure they're doing okay. Let them know that you are thinking of them. For those relationships with friends or family that don't know Christ yet, watch your mouth. Watch out for the music that you're listening to around them. Now, I'm not saying, hey, be fake in front of them. You can talk with a dirty mouth and listen to degrading music. Stop doing that first. Be mindful of how your character is around them. What better way to show love to those people in your life by loving them even in the smaller details? Plant that seed. Show them love by showing your life is changed by Jesus. Your family and those chosen relationships are super important. They help shape us into how we are and who we are. Faith is super important. Your faith helps shape how you are and who you are. Loving your family is a great way to build up your faith. Your family and your faith can mix, and it glorifies Jesus in a beautiful way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight.
I thank you for sending your son to die on a cross, that the blood that he shed, Lord, that it makes us all one. It all makes us a family. I thank you for the family, those chosen relationships around me, God, that have loved me through thick and thin, that have loved me and served me even when they didn't have to. God, I just thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. It's in your name we pray. Amen.